They're fitting kind of weird.
Your headphones?
Yeah.
What's changed?
I think that I wear several different sets of headphones, and so these felt different from the last pair I wore.
So, why aren't you monogamous with your headphones?
Well, different headphones for different purposes. So, like, I have a pair at work, so that I can just leave them, and if like the building got on fire, I wouldn't care if I lost them. And they're also noise canceling, so like.
So you're kind of a headphone hoe. I get it.
Sure.
Good for you. Live your life.
Thank you.
Live that truth, John.
All right.
Yeah, we should just get started. We're not gonna do any better than that.
Let's do this one. All right. Yeah, here we go. You want to do this one?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not even a little bit.
Oh, somebody did. I forgot to tell you. Or wait, did I? That somebody had messaged me about the.
About the song?
Yeah.
What did they say? That you're a thief?
Wow.
And a cheater?
Maybe I shouldn't have brought this up. Oh, it's not as fun as I thought it would be, actually. Never mind.
Great. Good talk.
But somebody did message me.
About what?
About the song. It was Daniel, but he was like, I thought that was just something that you normally did. Because he had heard it before.
Hmm.
You know? So he recognized that it had been reused.
So it was, he just thought that was like just a noise.
Just my go-to, I need music noise.
Is that worse?
Well, to be fair, the very first time we did this show, we did it as a literal joke.
I mean, sure.
So, and we never decided to evolve the theme song beyond that. So it's kind of like, well, this is what we got.
I always thought the theme song was a direct like parody of the guy's theme song.
Yeah, I think it's that, I guess it was a close enough approximation and that they aren't exactly the same. They're similar. They're very similar, but not the same.
Hmm.
So,
all right, sing your cheater song.
Oh, okay, here we go.
Welcome to 10 Tense Podcast, where we talk tense and make little sense. I'm your host, India Monroe, and this is my hobbly co-host, John Burkhardt. Hi, John.
Hobble, 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 hobble.
You are hobbly, though.
I am. So now that I officially have to be like, the doctor said it's sprained. I have to be like telling people that I have a sprained ankle and I'm going to have to wear a boot. And then people are like, well, how'd you sprain your ankle? And I'm like, all right, this is going to sound like I'm making this up.
You slipped on a hill.
But doing what?
You slipped on a hill while you also happened to be at a big cat sanctuary.
I was in a tiger enclosure.
Without tigers.
Right. But I was cleaning out a tiger enclosure, and it's like, how often is somebody doing that? You know, it's just like,
I just want to go on record.
It sounds like a made up injury.
I just want to go on record. That weekend, I was like, you probably sprained it. It's probably a bad sprain.
Well, I never had a sprain before.
I'm sure you've had several sprains in your life.
No.
Yeah.
I have great ankles.
I'm sure you have sprained other things in your life.
Yeah. And when that happened, I've injured my wrist before, and like when that happened, it's like, I can't use this. Right. I need to go to a doctor.
I don't believe that you've never sprained something.
I've never sprained my ankle is what I'm saying.
Okay.
So I didn't know like I haven't had a deflection injury in my wrist. I've had an impact injury, if that makes a difference. So like I fractured a wrist.
That's not a sprain.
Right. I understand that. But I've also had like, I hit something wrong in a fist shape, and that deflected weird.
So you've never like rolled your ankle before?
No.
Okay.
Like I've had, remember I was telling you before how like I had the joint thing as a kid?
No.
With like the stretchy ligaments and stuff?
Vaguely.
Well, that plays into that. I have, in that regard, like in this one isn't a normal sprain. It's not a, I didn't roll it like you normally would. It went forward.
Well, a sprain can be a lot of different things.
I understand that, but most of the time it's a side to side thing. Mm. This was a straight forward. Mm. And so like it just hit its limitation of
anyway movement. Doesn't John sprained his ankle. Yeah. I called it that weekend, and a month later here we are.
But I did set up a doctor's appointment right away. It's just it took forever to get into the doctor.
Anyway, I told John, I was like, hey, man, you really just need to, like, stay off this thing and rest it for, like, a good while. And probably take some Tylenol or some anti-inflammatories. Like, you need to do something. And John was like, cool, I'll definitely do that. But I'm also going to move this chair. And I'm also going to move these other things. And I'm also going to go pick up this other stuff, too.
I had to move. I literally had to move.
I know. That's why you hire people.
Yeah. Because
you
injured and I yourself. Let them do it because I injured myself. Anyway, I was being responsible.
Those first 2 weekends, though, you were still moving a bunch of stuff around.
Yeah. And preparation for getting out of your house.
Right. I don't care about the why of it. I just I don't care why you did it.
It plays an impact into actions.
It doesn't. It's
okay.
Your directive was don't do anything.
Hey, don't do anything, but also get out of my house.
You can accomplish it. You could have bought your Lazy Boy literally anytime.
I needed something to rest my foot, my ankle on.
Anyway, doesn't. John, let this go on for a month, and now here we are.
I have to wear a boot.
Now you have to wear a boot. You know why?
Because I probably would have needed to wear a boot from the beginning.
No.
Oh, okay.
If you just like chilled out and let it rest for 2 weeks.
I felt like I was running a marathon.
There's a really big gap between like doing nothing and running a marathon. So if that's your go-to, man, I don't know how to help you.
That's all I do. Either I'm on the couch or I'm doing marathons.
Anyway, one of us should be drinking for this conversation.
I am. That's why this is so ridiculous.
What are you drinking?
Okay. Black Box Sauvignon Blanc, right? Is that how you say it? Why not?
Sure. Did you look to see if you've had that before?
I did. I double checked. I have not had this one or I overlooked it. I didn't do a control F.
Okay.
Shoot. Whitehaven, it's a snapper. Yep. I haven't had this before. So we've had two others, but
okay.
So we're good.
Cool.
We are A-okay.
All right. Read the description. Let's go.
Okay.
Which while you're looking for it, have you spent any time with your wine book to look at, you know, vocabulary for discussing the taste?
No.
Cool. I just love that our discussions have not evolved from like
they have evolved. Okay, they've okay, gone. Okay, we okay, went to the very okay. The last episode was a mulligan. Okay, but
it's a mulligan.
I will admit that. Okay.
Okay.
But the ones before that, I feel like I was doing a pretty good job.
All right.
In describing things.
Okay.
Jeez.
Okay.
You know, I have one bad episode, and it's all of a sudden John doesn't know red from blue. What are colors? He's colorblind. So Black Box says, bursting with bright notes of grapefruit and lime. Oh, lime. Okay, I'm looking for that. Black Box Sauvignon Blanc finishes vibrant and crisp. This crisp and refreshing white wine is a perfect complement to chicken green salads and brie cheese?
To chicken, green salads.
No, it's no comma.
Are you serious? Chicken green salads?
Yes.
Black Box, get it together. Y'all drunk. Sorry, after green salads, what was it?
And brie cheese. But what
everything
is,
goes nicely with brie.
Right? But also, what color is chicken green?
That's a typo, and they're dumb for it. God, I miss wine.
Oh, well, I mean, what? 3 months? 4 months?
What?
Till you can have it again? Isn't there like a period of time where you can't...
No.
Oh, you can do that from the get-go?
Pretty much.
Oh, okay. So a month and a half?
If this wasn't going to be like another surgery for me, it would be happening in the hospital.
Oh, okay.
But it's like, okay, you know, a large abdominal surgery. They should probably not. You probably shouldn't have your glass of champagne right
now. Yeah, because you want your blood to work right.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Stupid blood.
All right, how is it?
So, as we've discussed before, I've been drinking a lot of much heavier stuff.
Yep.
This is heckin' smooth.
Yeah.
It just goes down super easy.
Yep.
That crispiness isn't as like sharp as they sell it.
Okay.
I would say there's definitely some nice smooth lime in there. I don't know if it was... Oh, there's a little description on the front. I don't know if it's the same thing.
It's not. This says fresh floral aromas with peach notes that unfold into a bright citrus finish. So I don't know what you read, John.
It's the same. Well, it's a different year, if that makes a difference.
It might, yeah.
Wait, no. So the label has what you read. I was reading their their text on the website.
Well, they're wasted because they talk about chicken green. So I don't know what to do about that.
This is a solid, like, I mean, and so do you think that, like, what you've said before, where, because I'm drinking heavier stuff, the other stuff just doesn't seem, isn't as noted as you would normally expect?
I think, so my whole point when I bring that up is that when you're accustomed to drinking really heavy stuff,
yeah,
if all of a sudden somebody gives you something that is very light, where the flavors are more subtle, where it's very drinkable, and the flavors aren't meant to just smack you in the face.
Yeah.
That can come across as like, well, that's weak, or like,
oh, I don't think it's weak.
Right.
Yeah, definitely not that.
But so stuff like this that is very, very light, very drinkable, mm-hmm. very easy drinking.
Yes.
You know, you don't necessarily need like food to stand up to it. You can just drink it yeah. on your patio on in the summertime. That yep. is what I gravitate towards. Like,
no, that's what I was gonna say. I really
12
feel like
months of the year.
Like, this is definitely an afternoon outside with people hanging out.
Yeah, but that's why, that's part of why they say, like, okay, this pairs really nicely with things like chicken or a green salad.
Because you're probably gonna be having that.
I mean, yeah, that's a predictable thing. Yeah, yeah, sure. But it's also gonna, like, go with it nicely. It's going to pair really well. It doesn't have to, like, be bolder than that.
Right.
You know?
I like it. You know, if somebody was serving this and we're hanging out and, you know, just talking and having fun, I'd be drinking this the whole time. No problem.
Easy yeah. peasy. When I'm drinking, like, at a party or something and they have wines.
Yeah.
I'll always ask first, what is the white wine that you're pouring?
Okay.
And if they say Sauvignon Blanc or Pinot Grigio, I'm going for one of those.
And you know that generally you'll be in okay shape, like, regardless of who makes it?
Yeah, like, even if it's terrible, the only way they can really be terrible is if they're just overly sweet.
Okay.
Like, a Chardonnay, a really bad Chardonnay can be bad in a lot of ways.
Okay.
So, but, like, a really bad, like, Sauvignon Blanc or Pinot Grigio is only just going to be, like, really sweet.
Yeah. And this, I don't think, falls under being super sweet.
It's like, from the teeniest, tiniest drop that I had, yeah. it's sweet-ish.
Yeah. But it's not like my teeth hurt sweet. Like some no, other stuff.
No, and it's
we've
not
had.
Gonna be like, you can get some off-dry Rieslings that are like that, but like, this is sweeter than I would typically gravitate toward, but it's not so sweet that I would not drink it, if that makes sense.
No, that does. I like it. This is a solid 7 for sure.
Excellent.
Maybe even an 8.
See, and this is easy, right? Like, you can just pick up a little carton of yeah. this and...
Yeah, that's the other nice thing about that is, like... Because, like, especially for somebody like me, when I'm by myself, mm-hmm. I'm not drinking a whole bottle. Like, to me, if I yeah. drink a whole bottle, it's either I'm at a party, like, I'm having a great time.
You
let's
should not
keep,
drink an entire bottle of wine
Let's
by
keep
yourself.
The good times rolling over. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, okay. I'm not going to drink a bottle by myself.
Doesn't. Y'all shouldn't either.
So that's why these little guys are really nice. Because, like, it's also kind of economical in that sense. Because I'm not... Mm-hmm. wasting, because I also just these days I don't drink night to night mm-hmm. on wine, so like this works out well.
I'm so this is like the equivalent of like 3 standard pours of a glass of wine.
Yeah.
If you pour more generously, this will be like 2 pours.
Yeah. So I mean, a black box, I like it. Good job. I would recommend this to somebody.
Cool. So good job. Excellent.
Yeah. All right, we did that.
Yeah, we did.
Look at that. All right. So what else we got to talk about?
You put it on the...
I put things... So we went to Atlanta as we just... We were going... Didn't we... We talked... We said we were going to Atlanta in the last
yeah,
episode, right?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, yeah. The big... The feet. Yeah. The feet. That's what we talked about.
What's
right?
What's the BB?
Baby shower. Baby.
Oh.
So I talked to a bunch of people online. I don't know what it is about Reddit, but it is... This isn't the only time it's happened to me or that I've seen it happen where somebody's like, I'm looking for a brick and mortar place. And then you'll get several comments, go to Amazon, go to Google. And it's like, no, I want to go touch something before I buy it.
I think that is only helpful when they're like, hey, there isn't one.
Right.
But here's where you can go.
Yeah, which wasn't the case. So I did try some of the places that some people recommended. None of them had what I was looking for. The place that did end up having something that would fit me was Walmart. which, cool, you know.
Well, yeah.
So I guess I can post more feet pics later on, because I don't know if we ever did a follow. Oh, no, we posted the shoes.
Ew.
So we did that.
Okay.
But the baby shower, I know that you didn't necessarily, you weren't the organizer, but you picked the theme.
Yeah, I wanted a Dolly Parton themed baby shower.
And it was a blast.
Yeah, well, because I think it doesn't, maybe I explained this on the last episode, but like, you know, Houston and I certainly are not anywhere near the first of our friends to have a baby. So like, at this point, we've all been to so many baby showers. It's like, okay, well, let's just do something different. Like, let's have a fun, just a fun get together, a fun gathering. Let's give it a fun theme. Let people like get rowdy with it a little bit. Yeah. And so Dolly Parton, because the original idea was I wanted to have a Dolly Parton pool party, but it's not always easy have a pool.
I was jacked up, ready to show up in a one piece for that.
Yeah. I think
like
deep plunge
V one piece with an updo. That didn't work out.
Yeah. But so, you know, we just kept the Dolly theme and just had it be like a fun like backyard barbecue, and it was really nice, and we just had a really, really good mix of people there that we love and that support us, and it was a lot of fun.
And speaking of baby shower, and we're recording a podcast, one of the dozen was there.
Several dozen were there.
Right, but like outside of like our other, like our primary friends group of like, I guess more for me, because they're your friend. Greg was there.
Right.
So like, I wouldn't know Greg if it wasn't for the podcast, probably.
I'm pretty sure I connected you guys because I found some stupid cat thing.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
And well, you're my two cat ladies.
True. That's right. That does sound familiar.
Yeah.
But Greg showed up as Jolene. I very much regret not getting a photo with him.
Yeah.
That was Greg, dumb. I don't know why I didn't do that.
Greg always like shows out for
He did great. He looked good. That was a really great dress.
But that's like, it was a great dress. But that's like, Greg always goes all out like for parties that are themed. So
yeah,
it was. So yeah, everybody, because I think none of my friends have met you yet. So,
like. So imagine this. You've never met me before. A 6 foot, 300-pound guy shows up, full-blown drag, makeup, everything.
Well, Greg's what, like 6'1", 6'2"?
Well, no, I'm saying all your other friends.
But, like, they knew Greg, though. So it wasn't, like, and they kind of just know. Nobody was shocked, I think, by your appearance.
Oh, yeah,
I think everyone was
like
really
it.
Happy about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. No, I got a lot of, like, oh, my God, I love this.
Yeah.
This is amazing. I got felt up several times.
I bet. Yeah.
It's like, hey, this is me. This is my, these are mine, not yours. Back off.
No, it was really good. And people got into it. I had a full like Dolly wig. And
oh,
like,
you looked awesome.
Full Dolly makeup. And
I had only seen the wig because I came to the house when I was visiting.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what the rest of the costume was going to be.
Yeah.
And it looked great.
Thank
I loved
you.
It.
Yeah. I had on like a goofy, ditzy, like country-ish dress, but like not super country.
Were those the boots that Houston got you for Christmas?
No. Oh, okay. Those are boots that I actually bought with Greg in Austin.
Oh, really?
Before we moved to Austin.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah. I bought them on South Congress at Allen Boots. They're really nice boots.
they looked great.
And I just, it was like, okay, cool. Like, how long am I going to be able to keep these on? And I actually did pretty well with it, but I had, like, misplaced the, like, tall socks that I had.
Oh.
And so I was wearing ankle socks with them, and after a while, it was just rubbing my ankle raw. And I was like, cool, switching to my sneakers that I brought.
Yeah, I eventually had to lose the costume after several hours of wearing it. Shout out to Sarah and Tori for doing my makeup.
Yeah, makeup was killer.
Rock. Yeah, they did a great job on it. I felt like a pretty gal. So that was different and fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun though.
It was a great.
It was a good mix of people. It was a good party.
Who were the hosts? I'm sorry, I can't.
Stacy, Lindsay, and Tori.
Yeah, they did a great job.
They did amazing. I don't know what I did in a previous life to be worthy of friends like them, but I just feel really lucky because they're amazing people.
Oh, yeah.
And I just,
they did so much.
I'm just like so honored that people would love me enough to do that. So,
and
I'm
it was
just,
Stacy's house, right?
It was Stacy's house.
And what was her husband's name?
Rob.
Rob made bomb barbecue.
Rob makes really good barbecue.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So
man,
they
you're
cooked.
In trouble,
they
man.
Were awesome.
I'm torn between the two of y'all. And what's amazing is that boy sent me home with like at least half a pound.
Oh yeah. They're just so generous like that. They're awesome people.
That was a great time. And then I got to finally actually we had them on the show and I finally got to meet Tori and Yalen in person.
I keep forgetting that like you guys have been friends for almost 3 years now.
Yeah.
And like, you never met.
And I was teasing the first day. I was like, I can't believe you guys got into a car with somebody you met on the internet and then agreed to go to a random house with them.
They didn't meet you on the internet.
No, that's how we met. We met on the internet.
I introduced you.
On the internet.
It was a like friends virtual game.
Right.
It wasn't like they found you in some chat room. Like you were like vouched for.
I was vetted.
Yeah. Good God.
But I was still, no, I mean, it wasn't serious. It, you know, we were just goofing.
I know. I'm just saying, it's not like for realsies.
But what made it even funnier leaning into that was that they got there earlier than me, so they went and hung out around the battery.
Yeah.
And then they were stashing their stuff at some random hotel that let them do it.
Right.
So when I drove up, they're walking from the battery and I'm just pulling up, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just like I'm just picking up two people off the side of the road.
Did you recognize them?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Okay. You know, I saw them right away and they didn't see me until I got out of the car. Just because it's got the tint on the windows.
Right.
And they don't know what my car is.
Right.
But so that was, you know, it was fun. It was great seeing them. I really enjoyed it.
It was a really good time. And then Houston and I went on our baby moon right after.
Yeah.
That was awesome just to be on the beach at a resort for a week. A really, really nice relaxing time. So,
yeah.
But now we all did that. We are in our last little sprint before little man gets here.
Yeah. So I guess while we're on the subject, we probably got maybe 2-3 episodes in us. And so we're going to have to take a break for a while.
Yeah.
Because baby. You know.
Yeah. I think like.
You know, like.
Mid-September doesn't. I think I'm going to start. I'll take my maternity leave a little bit early and we'll be on hiatus.
Yeah.
John, you're free to
I might do
content.
Some fillers and stuff like that, but you know, it's if we go a little while without anything, it's just the nature of like doing what's right to make sure that you bring a new life into the world appropriately, like and properly.
Sure.
So like let's minimize all the distractions.
Yeah. And also it has become increasingly more difficult to sit up.
Yeah. Yeah, India is being a trooper for all of you, so.
Yeah, this baby has decided that all up in my ribs is where he needs to be.
Yeah,
so that's super cool.
Yeah, so just a heads up on that. And yeah, I mean, I got a couple ideas of like things to do in your absence, but we're really, really close to episode 100, so I'm going to have to play around with it because to do something to involve you in that, because I think it'd be really kind of crummy to like skip you for 100.
You no,
or like
yeah,
we,
that's
or
not
I,
an option.
Or I publish episode 99 and then I publish episode 101 and then we come back to
if you I'm sorry, if you publish that many episodes without me while I'm on maternity leave, then you just have to stop.
Well, that would only have one or two in me then. We're in the 90s.
I mean, that's fine, but like,
you know,
you don't get to publish the 100th episode without me. It's stupid.
That's what I'm saying. We gotta
so
make
drag
sure we
it out, man.
Episode 98.1, episode 98.2. because what we just put out, our last episode was this will be episode 90. That's mm-hmm. plenty.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah. We'll be fine. Okay, so it's nothing to worry about. And if anything, I can stash recordings that I do to put out after.
Sure.
So, yeah, that's a thing.
Cool.
Back on track. Did you look through these at all?
No. I figured I would save. I looked through some of it, but I figured I would let you talk through the drama, and I wouldn't do any research into it because I first of all, don't care. And second of all, I saw the Instagram URL and I was like, oh, it's Instagram drama. I really am not going to flip through this.
So there is Time Attack News, which has been a pretty consistent source for all things Time Attack.
Is that official or no?
What do you mean?
Is that like an official news channel of Time Attack, or is it like?
Yeah, they're pretty like well known, and it's they are a primary source for Time Attack.
I don't mean are they are they a
full blown publisher?
I mean, does Grid Life release news through them?
Do
they work for Grid Life? Are they independent?
No, they're independent. Oh yeah, yeah. No, they're independent. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
So Time Attack covers time trials, Time Attack stuff for the most part. Mm-hmm. And they really focus on pro time trials and like top tier quote stuff. So they released all the Grid Life Time Attack results for Mid-Ohio or Gingerman, except for one class.
Why?
Because apparently it's not cool enough. It was Sunday Cup, which is the limited power to weight ratio class. It's like super easy entry. It's primarily like the Honda Fit class, you know, like,
well,
stock.
What's the point of just not publishing the
because
times?
It's essentially like my takeaway from like reading through all this stuff is that it's not cool enough.
I don't get it. You
like
have,
they're just being snobbish.
You have the times, just publish them.
Exactly. And that's, and so like a bunch of people are like, hey, I think you forgot a class, and they doubled down.
What? Why?
Yeah, because they're jackasses. I mean, well, I don't know. Grid Life, Time Attack News published results for Grid Life for a Grid Life event, completely excluded Sunday Cup.
And then someone was like, hey, you forgot this. And they're like, they just, go F yourself.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I shouldn't say they're jackasses. That might be too strong. But they're essentially like, we try to cover, you know, real time trials stuff or real time attack. And everybody's like, this is the deepest class in most organizations in the country.
Yeah.
If you want to talk about serious time attack competition, this is it. It's not some guy that's blew a bunch of money and is racing in a class with only five people and he's in a different tier because he spent $50,000 more. Like, these are real drivers doing real things.
It just seems dumb to like alienate an entire like swath of things.
Yeah, because especially considering that like several of the classes that they did include combine equals less entries than Sunday Cup, you know, and like the time, the competition times between them are super tight, you know. It'd be like it'd be like if you're talking about like
and so they basically just Streisand affected themselves, right?
Yeah. Okay. It'd be like if you're covering solo nationals and excluded like G Street or STS. And it's like, those are the biggest classes that are like B Street. And it's like, those are the biggest classes you have. Why would you exclude that? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, dear. There's no reason to do it. You're just being mean. And you're gatekeeping, essentially. That's my take. And especially like reading through a ton of the responses that they've had over this whole week.
Okay. But this meme that they posted...
Yeah, so there's been some.
Is that
really
John Daly?
Yeah. Are you asking who posted it?
No, I'm saying, is that John Daly the golfer?
Oh yes.
Yeah.
That one's gotten used several times for this.
No, that's really good. That's good. Where it's Sunday Cup and then like
yeah,
the other golfer is Time Attack News, and it's like that feels accurate.
Let me find that. There's a hashtag that's been trending about this, like Sunday. Hashtag not real time attack news. Hashtag real sun, a real time attack class. And like Time Attack News has never had this much interaction on any of their posts until they just like said screw you guys and just burned the place down. And even like Jabe and the other guys, like,
yeah, what does Jabe have to say
through
about this?
Like the Slip Angle account,
which
have been like, yo, this is kind of mess. And like, essentially, his takeaway was like, look, if you want to cover our events and like talk about our results, but talk about all of them. Don't say that like one of our classes isn't worthy.
Good
this
for
is,
Jabe.
This is and has always been a Time Attack class and is one of our best.
Tell him I appreciate him.
And that was one of their excuses, was like, oh, well, you know, you guys weren't transparent that this was a Time Attack class. And it's like, no, Sunday Cup's always been time. Sunday Cup was Time Attack, existed before Gridlife did Wheel to Wheel.
I'm sorry. If you're going to double down.
It was just some really ignorant stuff.
Then, like, don't try to backtrack and blame it on Gridlife.
It was a bunch of deflection for the most part. And it's just like, look, man. Just because, and what's crazy is that some of the top times for Sunday Cup are faster than some of the other classes, even though it's supposed to be the slow class. Like the you know, it's just like,
I mean, I just think it's, I think it's dumb if you're gonna be exclusionary, or if you're gonna be exclusive about what classes you talk about.
Yeah.
Then exclude like 50% of it at least.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's fine if you only want to focus on a handful of classes. Yeah. Sure, by all means.
Like the super crazy builds or whatever.
But when you know, like, only when you exclude one.
Yeah.
Then like you're just singling them out, and it's yep. just done, and then you double down. And it's like, dude, what do you, this whole thing's stupid.
It is. It's very, and the crazy thing to me is that, like, look, guys, Time Attack isn't that big in the U.S., so you might not want to exclude what essentially is at least 10% of the drivers.
Yeah, it's dumb to me that, like, if you're still trying to build your popularity yeah. up, why would you exclude yeah, that many
it's,
people?
It's,
anyway, so, these people are dumb, and yeah. a whole bunch of them need to lose their yeah. jobs.
So, we'll skip the next one, but, speaking of track stuff, I'm going to go back to VIR in a couple weeks.
With who?
With Andrew Rains of Apex Pro.
We love Andrew Rains.
Right?
Hi, Andrew.
Yeah. So Birmingham Road and Race is the endurance team that he is a member of. Mm-hmm. And I guess probably like an owner of.
Yeah, he's kind of a big deal.
Yeah. So they have an endurance team for World Racing League. They have an event at VIR. And they need an extra person to come play mechanic and do refueling stuff, primarily fueling. Mm-hmm. They need a guy to pick up fuel and put it in cars.
Cool.
So I'm going to go help them out with that, and hopefully they do well with it. I'm looking forward to it. So they were the other big team that came and joined us at NOLA for WRL for Gumbo. And Andrew Rains put a post on Facebook, was like, hey, we're looking for an extra hand at this event, da da da. And I was like, I just moved to Raleigh and VIR is pretty close. I can come help you.
Yeah, it's like an hour and a half. Right?
Yeah, and they're like, hey, if you're going to come do this, Gumbo? And I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Smart. I can do that, no problem. So
that Andrew, he's such a smart guy.
Oh, yeah, he's really cool. Great people. And the rest of, I met several of the other team members at NOLA. They are all really cool people, so I'm looking forward to working with them. The other thing was, because I'll be helping with fueling, I need like all the driver safety gear. Which yep. one? I've never had all of it.
Oh.
Because time trials didn't require in the class that I ran in when I was doing it.
Sure.
So I need to get some extra things, but then also the driver's suit when I got it was a little small, and now it's definitely too small.
So you have to buy a fire suit.
Yeah, so I have to get a driver's suit. But I got a lead on actually, let me look them up real. Let me look at my email real quick.
They don't rent those anywhere?
I didn't look into that.
You should look into that.
Well, let me,
I feel like I've worked at tracks where they had them to rent.
So years ago, Krolowitz had told me that there is a company in Charlotte that purchases surplus and like slightly used gear mm-hmm. from NASCAR teams.
Okay.
And a lot of times, and they resell it. And he said a lot of times you can get like their pit crews need all the gear.
Right.
But they change sponsors and stuff all the time so much that they're essentially throwing away all these, like a whole team's worth of gear. And so sometimes you can get suits and stuff really cheap.
Mm-hmm.
So I did find the place in Charlotte, but they didn't have quite what I was looking for. But in my search, I found raceimage.com, which is a guy that's also in.
Not sponsored.
Yeah, yeah. This is not sponsored. They're also in North Carolina. They're like southeast of us by like an hour. I found something online. But they said that they also like will purchase stuff. So, you know, I have like a brand new Momo driver suit that retails for $1,600.
Oh, is that not the kind of thing that you like hang on to?
Well, it's kind of like,
it's not like your skinny jeans.
Well, the problem with that is that eventually it will expire.
Oh, that's very accurate.
You know, so it's like I should get use out of it while I can.
Mm-hmm.
So I called him and, you know, to explain like, hey, I have this other suit, da da da, and he's like, to be honest, like for the most part, I deal with like this niche of logo, da 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 stuff. And for me to make a profit, what I would have to offer you just wouldn't make sense, and it would probably be insulting.
Right.
I was like, that's totally fair enough. He gave me some advice on like how to sell it and stuff like that. Super, super friendly guy. I talked to the owner. But so he had a two-layer two-piece suit from some team. I don't remember what it is off the top of my head. But when I was talking, I was like, this team, has the driver or any, has the team ever done anything crazy in the public light? You know, because I'm going to be wearing their stuff. And he's like, right. No. He's like, well, the driver's kind of an asshole on track. And I was like, well, that doesn't matter. You know, it's an NASCAR.
I don't care if he just runs people off the road.
Yeah, it's no NASCAR. Deal. You know, it's like, well, what about off track? He's like, off track, that, as far as I know, they're good to go. And I tried Googling them. Nothing bad came up. So I was like, okay, cool. And along with their companies. So I got a two-layer, two-piece suit from a pretty nice company, Impact, which is a manufacturer.
Again, not sponsored.
Yeah. That meets all the requirements I need for WRL for $250.
Cool. Good job.
Yeah. And then they had a flash sale going on.
A fire sale?
If you will. So after shipping, it was $211.
Great.
Like, it was like, God dang. Okay.
Proud of you.
It was like, oh, this is a hell of a deal. Okay. I'm there. So now I just need to get some shoes and gloves because I already have my helmet and
a balaclava.
Yeah. I already have all that stuff, so I'm good to go. Sure. So I just need shoes and gloves. But yeah, I mean, genuinely, Race Image, the owner, blew me away. He was so nice and friendly, took his time, and just really gave me the information I needed. So if you need a used, cheap, reliable racing suit, as far as I can tell so far, they are the ones to go to.
Awesome. Good job.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be fun. Tell Andrew hi for me.
Yep. And Andrew brought up the point that I'll be able to use this as another camping coverage for you.
You will. You just have to actually do some camping.
I'm bringing my tent.
I mean, last time you chickened out because it rained a little bit.
There was tornadoes.
I don't know, John. You always talk about how you can camp in anything.
Well, not a tornado. Right. Come on.
I mean, it's not my fault you're a big old chicken.
Oh.
Bok, bok.
Wow. Okay.
Just saying.
I can't wait for you to finally go camping one day.
Bok, bok, bok,
wow. Bok, bok. You're so mean.
Anyway.
All right. So let's move on to other thingies.
Great. Because that's one of your items.
So I'm glad that you enjoyed this.
I did, and it's a throwback to season two.
Is it?
Yeah.
How so?
When we talked about ideal camping scenarios,
uh-huh.
One of the things that I talked about was this resort that I had found. I think it was in Alaska or it was coastal Canada. Now.
Yep. Yeah, you did.
But you could do whale watching in their bay, and they would put you in a float suit, which prompted me to be like, what's a float suit?
Yeah.
And it's essentially a wetsuit that allows you to float on your back without doing anything.
Yeah.
So you can just chill in the water and look for some whales.
So the reason I thought of you was your family, because y'all are wine enthusiasts.
Sure.
So it's like, if anybody's going to have enough corks to do this, it's probably India's family.
Yeah.
So essentially this family's dad made a whole suit of corks, and
it's not like a head to toe, it's like
it almost is.
It's like it has a piece that goes around his, like, oh yeah, it's back,
yeah,
something that's like short sleeve on his arm enough that supports his head and his neck, and then like stuff around his thighs.
I mean, I would call this like cut off coveralls.
Sure.
And it works.
It works. It works great.
Yeah. And it's just like, this guy's, I don't know who this guy is. I don't know anything else about him, but I want to hang out with him.
It's really cool. And so he puts it on and just jumps in the water, and he's just hanging out, floating on his back. It's a little stiff. So happy.
He didn't do much for the joints.
No, but I mean, like, once you're in the water, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And then, like, other members of the family put it on and do the same thing. They're all very happy.
Yeah, it seems like a great time. I would have loved to have seen this in real life. The account is HP Bun. On TikTok, go check it out. We might try to post it.
But it said it took him 3 years to get enough corks to do it.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, my family could probably pull this off in a few months.
Especially like,
with Bill's business.
Yeah, I was about to say, if you included that.
He just needs like
some of the socials or something.
I think if you put like
a sign like, hey, have
drop
corks.
Your corks here.
Yeah. I really actually kind of love the idea of like some really nicely worded like recycle your corks or something like that. And then she's going to like this dumb suit.
Well, like Susu saves all their corks and sends them off to friends of our family in her hometown, like the daycare that they run. They like play with, like they have the kids like make different things.
Oh, and so, like as a material.
Yeah, it's like a play, like a material to like create stuff. So.
Okay, that's fun.
I don't know how their families feel about it, but I think it's genius, whatever. So.
So let's talk about some of your content.
My content's awesome. I tried to pull a bunch of like camping, national park related news for you guys. Just because I guess I'm the only one in this podcast who wants to talk about camping ever.
I am going camping.
Maybe.
What do you mean? Maybe I am.
I don't know. Not if there's a sprinkle.
Wow. You know what? There's gonna be like a news report. Yeah, a hurricane came in. This tent flew up in the air, and there's clearly a guy in it, and he was shouting, "She said I had to."
That would be great content.
Oh my god.
Anyway, so here's a story out of Yellowstone. The headline is just too choice to not share with you guys. Part of a foot in a shoe spotted in Yellowstone Hot Spring.
Cool. Cool.
So this is definitely reason number 560 to never go outdoors. excuse me. Basically, they spotted the shoe floating in this hot spring. And they were like, well, that's kind of weird. Maybe we ought to report that. So they do. They fish the shoe out of the water and they realize a foot is still in it. And everyone's like, well, that's super weird. I wonder where that came from. Surely nowhere good. But then a day later, after the story breaks, there is an update in the case, Devin.
Cool.
It makes it so much worse.
Oh, boy.
Foot found floating in Yellowstone Hot Spring is linked to July death.
Neat.
Yeah. So somehow they also like do not suspect foul play in this guy's death that saw him lose a foot and have it be in a hot spring. Like, I can see how if you find your way into a hot spring and then you die in the hot spring, like, sure. But it doesn't answer how your foot is severed from your body with the shoe still in it.
I think it depends on how long that body was in there.
I don't know. I feel like if it was in a significant state of decomposition, then it probably would have like the shoe wouldn't still be on it.
I don't know how that works.
I don't think it's easy.
I haven't watched enough. Like we should call Sarah at some point and ask, because she's the one that watches enough of those murder mystery shows to tell us.
I mean, sure. Like I'm it's possible. Ignorant. Like if it's like a hiking boot. But they don't provide like what kind of shoe it is.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say. But I think it's interesting that
I think we should circle back around and explain why this isn't a foul play thing, because this is a thing that happens from time to time, is that you have these hot springs that look totally fine and you can't tell until you're in it that they are beyond boiling.
This one's at 140 degrees, yeah. So not boiling.
Oh, well then why'd they die? Well, no.
That's the big question, John. Why did they die?
I'm pretty sure that if you're over 100 degrees water, you can die.
I don't know.
But some of these other ones are super, super hot.
Okay, hang on. I'm going to Google this.
How hot of water can you survive?
Okay, so yeah, you can totally die. So, okay. So your average hot tub goes up to 104 degrees, which feels oddly specific.
There's probably some scientific, like, don't do more type of thing.
Yeah. So at 120 degrees, you can start seeing serious burns around 10 minutes.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. So that totally could have killed him, right? But yeah. Like, I feel like at some point, though, like.
Well, so the thing with it
so
is.
So I feel like that you should get some sort of information about, like.
Yeah. And some more. Let's explain more of, like, how this person. Did you find them in the water? Did people watch them be dumb and go into the water and suddenly die?
I don't think
like,
so.
What was
I
the
mean,
situation
I, they
that
don't
led
provide
to the
a lot of information about it. That's part of the problem.
Yeah.
This just goes back to last spooky season when we talked about how like there's not a whole lot of good reporting on deaths in national parks.
Right?
It's a conspiracy. So it really doesn't just don't go at all.
You know, remember that that spooky hot pepper review that I did of that scary show?
Vaguely.
Where it was over in one of the big parks and there's like crazy people, hills people.
Oh, the American Horror Stories.
Yeah, episode. Maybe it's like there's a conspiracy to like not report everything.
No, there legitimately is. Like, they don't want to report all of that stuff.
Oh, wait, no, it says later on what happened.
Oh, does it?
The most recent... Oh, no, this is a separate death. Never mind. So, yeah, they don't... There you go. I'm sorry.
That's a different death in there.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. So, this Reddit thread popped up on my feed not too long ago. And bear with me. I'm going to read you guys the question verbatim, even though it, like, kills me a little inside to do so, because you'll see why. But in the camping subreddit, user sort by controversial.
Oh, boy.
Cobtroversial. What does that even mean?
Cob?
Sort by cobtroversial.
Where did you say cob?
On their username.
Oh, okay.
Oh, God. This is going to kill me. Ask the question.
It's right next to the N on the keyboard, so it's probably a typo.
Well, that's dumb because it's literally your username. Anyway, that user posted, "This sub teached me, God, I hate it so much, not to make fire on rock surfaces and don't make stone pile things.
Uh-huh.
Are there more rules of the outdoors?"
Yeah.
And I do really appreciate it because one user on down there, like, was giving a helpful list, and, like, item three was the past tense of teach is taught, not teached. And I was like, dear user, I love you.
To be fair, I did recently make a correction on that sort of thing in the USMC subreddit, which is kind of like, why even try?
Right.
You know, but I did.
How'd it go?
Well, I didn't get downvoted.
That's a plus.
But although I didn't check to see if they edited it. I doubt they did, but.
Cool. So some of the answers were pretty good, I thought, yeah. That I figured I would share with you guys. I really appreciated this one in particular. Omnibuster 33 said, "Wait, why aren't we supposed to make fires on rocks?"
Did you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not stupid.
The champion of I don't do outdoors.
That doesn't mean I can't do outdoors.
Right, but I mean, it's fair to assume that you might not know a lot of this kind of stuff.
I know lots of useful things. Okay. Which one of us do you think, John, knows more about bear safety?
Well, that's one very specific thing.
That's one very important thing. Anyway, user Bundea says some rocks can have moisture in them, and if rapidly heated, can flash to steam, creating a shit ton of energy. Think grenade, but with a rock. My understanding is, although possible, it is pretty rare. Mostly is just for cautionary reasons, but best to not use river rocks, basically.
But also, like, to me, it's like, that's a big heat sink as well. Like, it's...
Your rocks?
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, that just seems like...
I have a less of an issue with it there. Because I think barrier. Your rocks can also radiate.
True.
So that's what I'm looking for is, yeah, like radiation.
And like some people do like fire rings out of like rocks and stone. But I guess it's much different from having the fire directly on it.
Sure.
So.
User DaBiscuit.
DaBiscuit!
Says, never set a fire near the roots of a pine tree. The sap of a pine tree is highly flammable. Mm. And if the roots catch fire, it can create an extremely slow burning fire within the tree that can kill it and potentially even start a forest fire. So if you're setting up your camp and you noticed there are exposed pine roots or very shallow pine roots, find somewhere else to set your campfire. I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
And so that also, like, other people mentioned, like, don't use pine wood to start your fires.
Why not?
Because it can have that sap in it that is flammable.
But if I'm trying to start a fire.
But it can, like, it can combust.
Oh, okay. Like, okay.
In a not fun way. Yeah. I don't know how like high that risk is, but
yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Blue Waterbound said, "Watch out for widowmakers when setting up your tent." And I was like, "Oh my god, what's a widowmaker? I don't understand." And there were lots of fun jokes in the comments, like, "Yeah, don't have a heart attack while you're setting up your camp," or like, "Really? Like they're worried about like submarines?" Is that what a widowmaker was?
No. What?
Yeah, there was some movie about a like ship or a submarine that was called the Widowmaker. That's why it was funny. They were making a joke. But I was like, well, what's a Widowmaker? And basically, a Widowmaker doesn't, in some regions, it's referred
to. Oh, K-19.
Yeah, okay. I don't
know. That was a big movie in early 2000s.
Okay.
So, yeah, you're right.
Is it a submarine?
Yeah, K-19 was a German submarine. There we go. Or Soviet, I'm sorry.
Basically, a dead tree or branches that are ready to fall.
So I knew to look out for branches. I didn't know it was called a widowmaker.
I think it's some regions call it a widowmaker.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
User N Bumpo said, "Do you know why you never hear other campers playing their music really loud? Because it sucks and nobody wants to hear it. Leave the boombox at home."
Fair enough.
I thought that was very useful.
Yeah.
And a really nice setup. I was like, oh, I'm interested. Oh, fair point. And the last one I will share with you guys, because it was just so out there. DeWitt2925 said, "If you were going to use an existing fire pit, sift through it first. Learned the hard way there were bullets that went off after a while." Which, like,
cool.
What?
Cool, 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 cool.
Who does that?
Dummies.
Why would you drop them there?
Because they're dumb. But no, that is, that's definitely something that you need to be aware of. And, like, you want to check what's underneath in the fire pit if it's, like, some random one.
That's insane to me. It's like, oh, no, I mean, obviously you should check what's in the pit.
Yeah.
But, like, why would you ever throw bullets in there?
Yeah, that seems really stupid. Like, what? That's strange.
Highly suspect. Yeah. I don't know why you would do that.
That is really weird.
Super weird. So next up in actual tent news.
What?
I know you're all so excited.
Tent news!
From CNBC, the headline reads, "This Airbnb tent near a Hawaiian volcano brings in $28,000 per year." And so basically the story is about this young woman who inherited some 90 acres of land in Hawaii from her family. Like,
that's gonna be worth a lot.
It's worth a lot. The land had been in her family for generations and had like several small family homes on it. They have cattle, they have pigs, chickens, things like that. But it's 12 miles away from the Hawaii Volcanoes National Park. And she remembered as a girl being able to see eruptions from the property. And she was like, you know what? This is actually a really good opportunity. Now that I have control over this land, that I should put a really nice tent on here and open an Airbnb property for people. So she bought like a tent for $300. It's a pretty sizable tent for glamping. And then she spent another $8,000 in amenities like a kitchen, an outdoor shower, and a really nice king-size mattress. And, like, just fixed up the place so it's a really comfy, cozy place to be. She charges $70 a night, which is stupid. Like, that's so good. And, yeah, people can come just enjoy nature. They can be in close proximity,
you know,
to the park.
For the other glamping things that we've covered,
mm-hmm.
That's cheap.
That's damn cheap.
And you're in Hawaii?
And you're in Hawaii.
Wow. Yeah, she's... in comparison to what we've seen, that seems... like, she's undercharging.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a pain in the ass to get there, right? But, like...
yeah.
But at the same time, like, that's awesome. But she was also saying that, you know, she got hit pretty hard by COVID. Because, obviously, people weren't traveling. And Hawaii instituted, like, a mandatory 2-week quarantine to come in. But now, like, ever since 2021, basically, people have been renting it out for, like, a month at a time.
With expanded options for remote work. That's super clever.
Yeah. Well, that's what a lot of places started doing.
That was
the angle that I know a lot of hotel chain, like Marriott, really pushed that angle. Like, you can work from anywhere, so work from here.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like, straight up, like, if I was full-time remote and I was like, hey, do you just want to, like, go hang out in, like, a really, really nice glamping setup in Hawaii for a month?
That was the idea.
I'd be like... yeah, absolutely. Why aren't we doing it? That's really smart.
Yeah. So she did that. She's been looking into opening more properties, more tents for Airbnb purposes property.
I was going to say, you know, just the one seems like, why aren't you doing? But although then again, like, I mean, she had to put a ton of money into it for what she set up.
Yeah. I'm really sorry. I might be butchering her name, but her name is Kehao Hall. K-E-H-A-O. And the tent is in Mountain View, Hawaii. But she seems rad, and this whole operation looks really rad.
They also talk about a thing called Glamping Hub. Mm-hmm. We should investigate that for and report back on that later on.
We can do that. But yeah.
That's
really
cool.
It looks super cute. Like, it's spacious. It looks very cozy.
Yeah.
And you're in Hawaii, so.
Yeah.
I don't know what more you could want.
I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it's super lame, though, that this article doesn't link me to it, so.
I agree. Maybe there's, like, some weird, I don't know. I'm not even going to try to speculate. But that's pretty neat. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so I thought that was some good uplifting tent news.
And I think that that's, like, one of those examples of, like, Airbnbs where, like, you can actually root for the property owner versus, like, oh, I'm an investor and I bought these properties and, you know, all that stuff that goes along with, like, taking away reasonably priced housing for people and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Where it's just like, no, I had this property and I repurposed something that I wasn't using, you know, which is like 96 acres. Mm-hmm. Like, she's not going to notice that on her property if she doesn't want to. So that's pretty neat.
Ooh, found it.
Oh, okay. Rad pictures.
Well, let's take a look.
So I looked up glampinghub.com. I put in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Yeah.
A lot of these postings are twice as much as what she's charging.
Yes,
and they're in Raleigh, not Hawaii.
There's a coffee station with a French press.
Cute. So
yeah, a little like mini fridge with like a toaster oven, a little desk.
Yeah, that's awesome.
There's a sink.
Cool.
Yeah, a little bathroom.
I like it.
Yeah, I'm on board.
So we got one more thing.
There's koi fish. Oh,
that's cute. We have a listener submission.
Yeah. What about?
This is actually submitted by two people.
Oh yeah.
Min and Tori. But,
ooh, I like how they think. I love Min.
Right. He sent it in first. And then Tori sent it in like a week later, but I want to, you know, she doesn't know that she sent it, you know, so I appreciate her thinking of us.
Equal credit to both of you. Thank you for looking out.
So, headline, bear cub drunk on mad honey rescued by rangers.
I saw this, the poor bear cub.
I want to know about this Turkish honey. We need to circle back to Yalin.
Well, Tori and Yalin are literally in Turkey.
Yeah, right now. What is this honey that I don't know about?
Ask him about it. You have all the information right there.
May produce hallucinogenic effects. Cool. I'm there for it.
See if he can bring you back some. I don't know how that works.
Hey, y'all, do you want to deal with customs for me? but it was okay. But it is kind of wonky, like, the videos of it, because, like, this bear is, like, sitting on its rump, slunched over, clearly messed up. But they're able to get it taken care of. But it's still just kind of like,
they found him all wobbly and sad. Yeah. Poor bear, but he's okay.
Oh, buddy.
I know. I was so worried for him.
And I like that, like, this cub is the size of these people's torsos.
Yeah.
And it's a cub.
It's a cub.
You know. So, it's going to be released in a while once it fully recovers. But it's still just like, yikes. Poor little booger. So, yeah. Think that's what we got, right?
That's about what we got. You should wait another several hours before you text Yalin about this honey. Because I'm pretty sure they're asleep now.
Okay.
Considering the time difference.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, that's what we got.
Yeah, cool. All right. Well, you ready to wrap this up?
Sure.
Go like us on iTunes. Hit us up on our website, 1010spodcast.com. Follow us on Instagrams and the TikToks. I've recently posted some new things on there. We're bringing it back.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Love it. Have fun.
All right, here we go. Bam, 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 bam. Bam, ba-down, bam, ba-down. Bam, ba-down, bam, ba-down.
Keep it campy.
Bye.